Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, November the 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And being an Open Mic Friday, it means you can call in and take over the microphone with questions or comments. In the St. Louis area, you phone 821-0850. And anywhere else in North America, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Law and Gospel continues due to the wonderful gifts given by our listeners to Law and Gospel. You can hear about that at the end of the program. And we're also sponsored by Concordia Mission Society that puts out that wonderful Good News magazine and also takes care of our mission in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. We're also sponsored by Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. Yesterday, the entire school showed up at the Mount Carmel Retirement Center and did wonderful singing during our devotion there. But we're also going to have, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, November the 13th, it's the big sausage dinner. It starts at noon. And there are many, many people that come from the St. Charles area. So we'd love to be talking to you, no doubt about it. Let's go to our phone lines right now, and let's begin by talking with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor. You mentioned earlier talking about the Pope's trip to Sweden and the event there.
Yes.
Involving what is supposedly called the Swedish, maybe Lutheran Church. Is this church really any more a Lutheran, even a Christian church, with so much denial of Scripture and apostasy and other things going on there? There's been so much atheism promulgated throughout Europe that's influenced the parliaments and the cultures, the universities, higher criticism and all that. Has that just swept through that church body?
They're really part of the Lutheran World Federation, and what you described has swept through that particular organization. I am not as familiar with the Lutheran Swedish Church as to the specifics about it over and above the Lutheran World Federation, but the Lutheran World Federation would be considered the more liberal organization of Lutherans, and in our own convention, the ELCA, is recognized as not any longer being Lutheran because of their teachings on abortion, gay marriage, homosexuality, and other such items. So they're also historic critics, as you know, which means if the Bible says, for example, that Jesus walked on the water, their pastors are not told that they have to teach that. It could be he was walking on the shore and the waves were high and it looked like he was walking on the water, and many other such historic elements in the Bible that you no longer have to hold to if you're a member of this particular group.
Saying that if you deny Scripture, everything else is going to fall.
Not necessarily. We talked about that in regard to the Roman Catholic Church. They not so much deny Scripture, but add things to Scripture. And, of course, they deny parts of it. But Mariology, Purgatory, etc., these are false teachings. However, it doesn't mean that everything has fallen. For example, the Pope just came out yesterday with a wonderful statement about women not being permitted to be priests. And he had a sermon in Indonesia that I thought was very, very good. So not everything normally falls unless you end up being a cult like Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witness.
I see. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling. Anybody else can call at 823-0850, St. Louis, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, and we'll move and talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Just a comment about what you and Pastor were talking about yesterday on the Cleveland Indians. Yes, indeed. The commissioner was going to meet with the owners of, I guess, to get rid of. But going to Scripture.
To get rid of what?
To get rid of the Indian mascot.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, I read a lot.
Okay, yeah, you may be listening to other stations, but it was amazing. I don't remember anybody saying that. I didn't watch every minute of the World Series, but one would thought with the controversy over the Redskins.
Commissioner, he said he would not interfere with the World Series, but he wanted to meet with the owners.
Well, you know, there's a hockey team called the Montreal Canadiens, and right. I don't hear any Canadians saying, don't you call us, you know, by our name. We don't like that. So it's almost an honor to have a team named after you. And
well,
so,
you would think so.
Yeah, you would think so, but perhaps there's some things I'm missing here.
They
I'm
not. You buy with Illini, and there were was never an Illini tribe. It's crazy.
Yes.
What I want to ask you about is, one, the devil. I know that he is loose on earth with all of his demons, but and I know he's called the prince. Is he in fact loose, period, until the Messiah comes again? Or does God rein him in?
There is no time that God does not rein in the devil. From the beginning of when the devil rebelled against God, the devil only can do things with God's permission. So when we say that he's loose from his point of view, but still remember he had to go to God to try and bring suffering to Job. And God allowed him to do that because it's going to make a stronger faith for Job. There is a time coming in the Bible where things are really going to get bad. It's called the Armageddon. But after that time will come the judgment day. We could be in the middle of the Armageddon right now. So if judgment day comes before my program ends, I'm not going to be arguing with God. But the devil, remember, a mighty fortress is our God.
Right.
He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. So we have, through Jesus Christ, total power over the devil, not to fall into his temptations. But when we do, we can always go to Jesus Christ in repentance and find forgiveness.
Thank you. My other question, the Pope did bring out on cremation, and I don't know if you heard his
No,
comment.
I didn't. What did he say about cremation?
Well, he was talking about the Catholics, that if they're having cremation, they are not to divide those remains, in other words, among relatives. They are not to just bury them any place. They are not to keep them in their home. They are to take them to a sacred, holy place.
You see, here is once again where the Pope, as the head of the Roman Catholic Church, says things that he cannot find Bible verses for. And, you know, he may be thinking that this would be good practice and this sort of thing. I hadn't heard about dividing the cremation remains about, but there's a number of individuals who will have a container with their remains of their loved ones in their home. First funeral I ever did was a cremation, and they were put in, the person was put in a mausoleum. But to say that that has to be the way rather than at home, etc., I don't have a problem with.
So then, in fact, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, does agree that, yes, we can be cremated.
There is not a position of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. There are some individuals, pastors, who are opposed to cremation, but this is a private opinion among them, and never in our convention have we ever done a resolution that says you should cremate or shouldn't cremate. I would, when I meet with people after a loved one dies, depending on how they want to bury the loved one, I would use my reason and pastoral skills in making sure their motivation is correct. For example, I just had a funeral recently, and I didn't even know about this, but they were put in a sealed coffin, and there was no embalming done, and there are these sealed coffins that once the body is put in, then it is locked up, there's no viewing of it, etc. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but I was just unaware of that. So there are different ways. For example, if you're in New Orleans with the water in the ground and such, a burial is quite different than it would be like in the St. Louis, Missouri area.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor. You certainly did answer.
Thank you so much for calling, Marilyn.
Bless you, and have a wonderful weekend.
God bless, for sure. And we'll just move on down the line and talk to Will. Will, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I know you've covered this a number of times, but I'm looking for some specific Bible verses for someone who is in a Baptist church, Southern Baptist, I think it is, and they would like to become a member, but they can't because they insist that they be baptized, and they were already baptized as infants, and don't they said, you know, God has done what He does in baptism, and they don't want to be baptized again. Could you give me a few verses that would convince or that would help to verify that baptism can be done at any age?
Oh, okay. First of all, I'm just a little confused. Is it the Baptist church that says they can't become a member of their congregation unless they're baptized again?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware that that was a position.
I don't know if that's a position.
Or just
the
of the pastor or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that they don't consider baptism to be a sacrament. But it's very clear, a couple of verses. First of all, Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Mm-hmm. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first part of that is very important. Paul is writing to Romans, some of whom definitely have had their children baptized, and he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized? So he doesn't say that all of you adults who have been baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we know the children were baptized? That is found in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
When the individuals say, oh boy, what have we done? And in verse 36, I'll start with, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, that's Jesus whom you crucified. Then it goes on. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I mean, they were really worried. Fear of God enveloped them. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized.
Yeah,
now,
that.
The be baptized is a passive, which means it's not something they do. It's something that's going to be done to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to receive two gifts for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm reading from the ESV, which is quite accurate here. For the promise is for you and for your children.
That's in Acts 2:36?
That's Acts 2, verse 39.
39, okay. Mm-hmm.
And for all who are far off. Now, that was a way of talking about Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And so there's just no doubt about it that there isn't a place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where the Pentecost baptism is not given to children.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of places, for example, when the jailer at Philippi, it says he and his household were baptized, Well, you wouldn't use the word household if he was just had a wife. He had to have children. And so they also were baptized. And there's many other passages where baptism is talked about as the new circumcision. Now, how old were the male children when they were circumcised? 8 days old.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can build quite a case up that children were baptized with the Pentecost baptism, and you can't find one verse where it was rejected because the individual was a child or an infant.
Okay, thank you. See, there was something else. Oh, where would you look to get an example of where somebody's whole household was baptized?
That's in that Philippians, remember, when they're in jail?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the jailer at Philippi is ready to kill himself mm-hmm. because all of a sudden the prisoners appear to have been freed, and mm-hmm. he would be really the person responsible for that.
Yeah.
But instead, we have them telling him, no, you know, we're all here. And what happens is that they take him to his house, and guess what? He and his whole household are baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the jailer at Philippi. And it's a really important passage there to show that the whole family. And remember, Jesus says, let the little children come unto me, for such
that.
Is the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's the one I kind of remember from confirmation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was confirmed on March the 29th, 1942, so that's been a few, a little while back.
Well, that's like saying a child who was adopted. I was adopted back there, and that was quite a while back. It doesn't matter how far back it is. The adoption's still there.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And it's absolutely correct mm-hmm. that what happens here is in our adoption, it's eternal. Mm-hmm. It's just not something short. So I hope these have been helpful for you.
They have been. I just one last thing, a comment I wanted to make. I used to work for a cemetery, and I had no salary. I was just commission selling pre-need.
Oh.
And I forgot what I was going to say. This is, you know, you can tell that since I was confirmed in 1942, I'm almost 90 years old, so I have forgotten. But it was just a comment there of something that that you had said that I was. But we'll do that another time.
We were talking about cremation.
Yeah, I've done a lot of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
And you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting, I took a after I'd returned from Korean military service, I was working in a laboratory, and I took a night course in microbiology at Washington U, and the professor, and I don't know where he went to church, but I'd be almost willing to bet that he was a Lutheran, and he would talk about the fact that bodies are buried at sea and they're consumed by the fish, and said God didn't make anything that any molecules that he couldn't control. Said, we don't normally make something that we can't control. He had somebody who he knew was trying to design a lawnmower that would go around tombstones, and said, you know what, he couldn't sell it unless anybody could control it. Well, God controls baptism. We don't. And
That's really important. That's why we refer to that as a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is God who is in control of that, and that really makes a big difference.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not even sure I told you it's in Acts 16, by the way, is the jailer of Philippi.
Oh, Acts 16. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to look those up. Okay.
Yeah, because, that's when they're in prison,
mm-hmm.
and they speak the Lord to him,
mm-hmm.
and it's particularly later on where in that verse where they go to his house and they baptize the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. And we're just going to keep on going down the lines and talk to Charles. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor Baker. I got a question regarding God's creation. From the beginning, it was good for 5 days, and then sixth day, very good. And I'm wondering how the animals that were labeled clean and unclean fit into that category. If nothing about God is unclean, what does the unclean factor about the designation for certain kinds of animals, what does that have to do, what is that signifying? It's probably not, well, I don't know. I just want to let you comment.
Yes, the designation of unclean and clean did not occur in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Because the people there were not under the ceremonial laws. They were sinless. And there's no evidence that there was death. So that meant that they were not eating animals, meat of animals. The first, can you recall the first animal that was put to death in the Bible?
Well, the skins that Adam...
Very good. The skins that were put on Adam and Eve, God had sacrificed an animal. Now some people argue that Cain's sacrifice, which came from produce from the field, was not as satisfactory toward God as Abel's sacrifice, which was an animal. But nowhere in the Bible does it say why God did not like Cain's sacrifice in light of the fact of what he gave him, especially when later on God had a number of sacrifices outside of animals, grain and bread, all kinds of offerings like that. So the distinction between clean and unclean was a ceremonial distinction, which was trying to point out to the people that they were not free yet. They were not free to eat all things. And until the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ceremonial laws were still in place. But I would point to that wonderful vision that Peter had on the roof when he was going to meet with Cornelius, and a big blanket came down with all this unclean food. And the unclean food was known because of the hooves they had and this sort of thing. And God told Peter three times to eat. And then what does God say? What I have declared to be clean, do not consider unclean. By the way, that's in Acts chapter 10, verse 15. And the voice came to Peter a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. And so from that point forward, Peter was able to preach that the ceremonial laws were not in effect. Paul makes some points. Don't be arguing about food. Don't be arguing about the Sabbath. Because part of the ceremonial law was worship only on the seventh day, but after the resurrection of Christ, we can worship on any day, and that keeps the Sabbath commandment. So the point is God declared these things to be unclean and then undeclared them to be unclean. And that is the same way, remember, Jesus was declared to be a sinner, even though he was not. And we're declared to be righteous, even though our works are not. So that declaration of God means everything. So when I read in the Bible, God considers this to be so-and-so, I have no questions. That's the way it is. And the unclean food during the ceremonial laws now have become clean during the New Testament time.
That comment about Jesus at 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might...
Yes.
Righteousness of God. What a powerful one. Hey, thanks for your answer, Pastor.
Okay, and thank you so much for calling. And unfortunately, we're out of time in the sense of taking any more calls. We appreciate those who did phone today, Herman and Marilyn and Will and Charles. And we'll be back on Monday to be talking about readings for the following Sunday. And we may be talking a little bit about somewhat of an important event occurring that week, namely on Tuesday, the election. And we'll see if the Bible verses have anything to say about that. And then remember the big sausage dinner at Trinity Orchard Farm the following Sunday. Many, many people come from all over the St. Charles area, and it's a big event. So we encourage you, if you're all available, Trinity Orchard Farm out there on Highway 94. You get off at 370 and just turn left immediately at the Highway 94 exit. It's the first exit once you cross the Mississippi. Or if you're coming from St. Charles, you just get on Highway 94. It's a well-known highway. I'm preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm Sunday 8 and 10:30 with a Bible study at 9:15. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.